It's just like pulling off a band-aid. A one, and a two, and a...
We got a bleeder! Keep the pressure on. Keep it on.
This is Axel Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 38. It is the week of, I believe it's November 21st, 2008, and I am embarking on my first run since I ran the Outer Banks Marathon on November 9th, and so far so good. I'm about almost half a mile in, and not really expecting too much. I was hoping to go at least four, and I'll take five, but I'm gonna probably stop there, I guess, depending on how I feel. I've been off running for a whole week, plus a day, and I did that intentionally because I really wanted to give my body time to rest. And with my heart rate up to about 146 right now, beats a minute, I think that's probably as high as it's been in since the marathon. So like I was saying, I'm not really sure what to expect today, and I'm not really expecting too much from myself. I'm running real slow. It's cold. My car's thermometer said 53 degrees, but a lot of cloud cover. They just seem colder here as I run about 4:30 in the afternoon. And I got my ultra reflective long sleeve running shirt on, where you can see me half a mile away, because it'll probably be dark by the time I finish. Well, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, this is a podcast about all things running. It's not about religion or politics. I kind of just talk about what comes to mind during my training runs. And sometimes that's some silly stuff. Most of the time it's about running. I do focus a lot on the miles that I'm doing. I think about it a lot. And I guess it's only really when I'm not doing a podcast during a training run that I guess I think about things that are non-running related. If that makes any sense. So, I'm a strict amateur. I don't win anything. I'm what you would consider an ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody. People don't even know I showed up to the race. So, that makes me a respectable authority on middle and back of the pack running. Something elite runners don't really know anything about if they're always at the front. So, I've got an interesting few weeks coming up ahead. I've successfully finished my fourth marathon on November 9th, and I've already got my sights on a fifth race, the Charlotte Marathon in North Carolina. And that'll be my second marathon in the state of North Carolina. I'm looking forward to it because I'll be visiting a friend. In fact, he's probably going to have to pick up my packet for me. We'll get down there late on Friday night. And then the race starts at 8 Saturday morning. This is about a 5-hour drive from Ashland. But I've got a whole different strategy for that race. That's going to be having fun. I'm not going to stress over silly finishing times because I'm kind of at peace with the fact that I'm a 4.5-hour marathoner. I'll let you in on a little secret. I was kind of hoping to match my B&A trail marathon time down at the Outer Banks, but you just gotta have everything. It's gotta be in place. Cool weather, good attitude. And when I was down the Outer Banks for a short period of time, I kinda lost sight of the fact why I was down there, which was to have fun. And I think I've grasped that again though. After not running for a week, just resting, I got some time to, I mean, I think I did a podcast about the marathon, but of course I had more time to contemplate my accomplishment. And it really is a remarkable thing to run that far, regardless of how long it takes you, you know, to cover it in a few hours. And I just need to be thankful that I have the ability to do it and that I get so much enjoyment from it. I mean, here I am out running again. I'm not injured. I just ran a marathon a week ago, and I'm out here training again. And it feels so good to be out here. It's actually cold enough where I'm wearing gloves. But I've got my little small personal item belt, and it's empty, and it's just big enough to hold my gloves for when I'm ready to take them off, which won't be long, because I kind of broke through the sweat barrier now. So Charlotte, December 13th, another 26.2 road course. I've heard of Tilly. I've read reviews about it on marathonguide.com. Say it's hilly. There's always people there that hate everything about a race. And then you got people that ran it as the first and, you know, has a special place in their heart. Sounds like most people liked it. But it seems like it's really just not a huge city event. So I'll make my own call on that when I'm down there. But a good thing about running this race is I don't have to go anywhere that afternoon. That evening we're staying down there to visit. And one thing I cannot do is expend myself so much where I can't even function that evening. Because people are counting on me to visit and, you know, be Dave. Which, I mean, my non-running persona is quite different. I guess you could say I'm kind of conservative on my podcast. Because it's mostly rated G. And, you know, family friendly and all that. Well, I was on my favorite 5-mile loop, but I think I'm going to take a detour here. And I'm in a place called the Jarnett Park. And yesterday, my wife and I delivered 2 trees over here, which was part of the Plant 150 celebration project for Ashland's 150th birthday. That's the town where I live. And we delivered the trees yesterday, and she planted them later. So I'm going to come over here and see where she planted them. She said she was doing it near the wood line. And we'll see them yet. They're supposed to have little tags on them. But I'll run around the perimeter of this park here, see if I can find them, since I'm not really on any strict course now. Huh. I don't see them anywhere. So I was talking with Tom about proper training between marathons. I mean, I've already got my strategy, which I'll kind of think out loud here about in a second. But Tom is looks like he's gonna run the Rocket Marathon in Mobile, Alabama. Red Rocket. I can't remember what it is. I think that's the same weekend as Charlotte. And looks like he's gonna be going down there by himself. I don't know if any listeners are running that marathon or not. I think I probably had the name of it wrong. But so he's in the same boat as me, and we're gonna do a double digit run this weekend. And I'm gonna do at least 10. Because you kind of waver between, okay, you just did your 26.2. So if you're looking at that as a long run, you got the endurance to cover that. So do you taper? Or do you go out and do another, you know, 20 miler in 2 weeks? And it's kind of up in the air, but what I'm going to do is, let's see, a double digit run this Saturday, at least 10, probably 12. And then the next weekend is Thanksgiving, and I'm on call for work. So my running schedule will have to be flexible in case I have to work at night and sleep during the day. I'm a big tree fire. And that's going to be the, I think that's the weekend 2 weeks out from the race. So I don't even think I'm going to do a 20 mile up here. I'm 15, 16. I have to look on the internet to see what people recommend, but I'm not really worried about running another 20 miler because I'll be doing that December 13th. Plus, so I'm looking forward to it. It's a little crazy what I'm doing, and the only reason I'm doing it is to force me to keep my mileage up so I can see if I can withstand the miles I got to do for this 40 mile ultra I'm going to do in the first week of May. And you might be thinking, well, God, that's 6 months away. Yeah, 6 months goes fast when you're doing long run, long endurance training. Plus, I might be able to sneak out two more marathons. I signed up for a 50 kilometer on January 17th, which is called the Swinging Bridge. And it's got an option for a 35K. And that's in Cumberland County, Virginia. About 40 minute drive from here, I think. Maybe a little farther. All right, I gotta get rid of the gloves. All right. Gotta say, I really like this little personal item belt. This speed belt, SPI belt. I ran with it during the marathon, and God, it didn't chafe or anything. Of course, I had so much Body Glide around my waist and under my heart rate monitor. I didn't get any rashes or anything. No blisters on my feet. Nothing. Speaking of blisters, and I know I'm kind of digressing a little bit, getting on a tangent. I guess that's what running and talking out loud to yourself is all about. Meriwether was a member of the Patrick Henry half marathon training team, and I believe she's a loyal listener of the show. I'm not sure if she still listens, but she ran a killer half marathon this past weekend in Richmond in just brutal temperatures. I think they're in the 70s. Humidity level was high because it had rained in the morning. Then it got sunny, and that's just, I mean, that was worse than the Outer Banks weather. And then the day after the marathon, where it's perfect, and then here today, it's 50 degrees, perfect running weather, just perfect. But she got blisters real bad, even though she, I think, ran 206 or maybe less. She's trying to break 2 hours, came really close. She takes a little bit more effort, but sounds like she did pretty good considering that she had blisters on her feet. So must have been a shoe issue. I was kind of worried about that when I ran out of Banks because my shoes only had about 20 miles on them. But I got them on again today, and man, they feel good. Feel good. All right, getting back to what I was saying, preparing for the Charlotte Marathon. I'm kind of just going into this race as looking at it as a long training experience to get me to that 50K the next month. And then that'll hopefully springboard me into a either February or March marathon. And then my last long run is going to be kind of an adventure race from my house to my parents' house about 30 miles away. And that's going to require me to probably bring money and stop at some convenience stores for water and stuff once I run out of what I carry. So I don't really have a rock solid plan. It's kind of fluid, except for December 13th and January 17th, which is a marathon and then a 50K ultra, which is kind of funny because I'll be running an ultra to prepare for an ultra. Although, I think true ultra runners don't consider the 50K an ultra because it's just 32 miles, I guess. Why do people think the 40 miler is a true ultra? Because that might be the most I'll ever be able to do in my life, if I even get there. But you know, I keep my fingers crossed that I stay healthy. And I've forgotten how free it feels to be out here running. I've got a pretty stressful job. And, matter of fact, I just added a second cell phone to my belt the other day. I mean, we switched our home phone over to a cell phone, and in order for me and my wife to get free calls back and forth, I gotta carry that phone so she doesn't call my work cell phone. So it was today, the first day I think I just took both off, put them on the counter in the house, and I just said, I'm going for a run. Just forgot how free it feels, even when you're tired, sweaty. It really is a free thing. Just free from everything. Got a friend named Tara who has contacted me about doing some trail training. I think she's considering the Swinging Bridge 50K as well, or at least the 35K option. And I did the 35K last year and had a real hard time of all the hills, and I really liked it. I mean, in hindsight. And she was there with her husband, or fiance at the time, at the finish line, and they were just volunteering. That's something they both like doing. Matter of fact, her husband's name is Juan. He's at every race volunteering where she's running, or he's doing something. And she came out and ran the Blunt's Bridge Challenge run that I organized back in October. For that was Ashton's version of the Worldwide Half. And I remember Juan rode his bike the whole time and carried everybody's water in a little saddle basket. And I was just thinking about that. It's really nice that he did that. So she's going to come out up to Ashland, and we're going to go to Poor Farm Park and do some trail running, I think once a week. And it looks like we're going to do it by headlamp. And the reason for that is because it's going to be so damn dark. However, the only problem is that the park closes at dusk, and we're going to be in the park at dusk. And I'm kind of a rule follower, so I think I've got a way to circumvent it. So we'll see. I'm going to get ready to pass some runners. I'm going to see if I know them. One of them looks familiar. I'm not sure if I know her or not. No, I don't think I know these people. How y'all doing? There's a reason I don't know them. It's because they're students at Randolph Macon College. They looked like, they looked a little older at first. Whoops. So, I told her I'd contact her after I finished the Outer Banks, and matter of fact, she ran the Richmond Marathon on Sunday, which I'm going to make a couple comments on, only because I was out there, but I made a video of it, of at least the people I was supporting there that I knew. That's at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And the weather was really hot, but I'm going to talk about bleeding nipples for a second, because I saw way too many guys way too many that have bleeding nipples. I mean, guys, there's really no excuse. Take care of it. Get you some nip guards. Get you some waterproof band-aids. That's the cheap version of nip guards. I mean, for crying out loud, take care of it, guys. I mean, I can't talk enough about this. And I got a little video clip of a guy at the end. Can't really see it that well. He's got a white shirt on and orange sleeves. And I got a little caption in the video that says, "Reason for nip guards." And you can't see it really that good in the video, I guess, unless you download it and watch it on your own computer. But we're talking about somebody that's just kind of gushing. And, I mean, not only do you ruin your shirt, but it's really gross. I mean, it's just not a good place. It's not right for guys to bleed there. And it's all preventable. All it is skin that gets rubbed off by friction. And I've got these. I've found Band-Aids that work just as well. Maybe even longer, because when I ran the Baltimore Marathon in 2007, October of 07, one of my nip guards wore off. So that's when I switched to Band-Aids. And it's the Band-Aids that have they're really strong. They stay on even in the shower if you forget to take them off after your run. Now, guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you think you might be a bleeder, don't wait to find out. If you're going on a run that's at least an hour long, do some preventive care and put on some Band-Aids. Your friends will thank you for it. Your family will thank you for it. Strangers will thank you for it. Because it's kind of hard to talk to somebody after the race is over if they got big blood streaks coming from their nipples and a white shirt. It's preventable. Maybe I went into that a little bit too much. All right, just about done. I went ahead and chose 5 miles. And believe it or not, I feel just like I did before I ran the marathon. Oh, there it is. All right, so I feel pretty good. I'm definitely back. No injuries. And I have to admit, I was a little concerned that maybe some weird twang or something would pop up during this training run. But everything seems to be in order. It's pretty cold and got dark. I feel pretty good. Feeling pretty good. So I'm definitely back. Back in the training.
All right, we got several emails and some cool comments on the site this week. A lot of real positive stuff. And so I'm going to go retrieve the email bag here. Get it all mixed out. All right, let's get started. All right, got a really cool email from Rich down in the Woodlands, Texas. And Rich is the first person to request the Run Ashland First sticker, so he gets a bonus sticker. So Rich, I'm putting that in the mail this evening, and you should probably get it by the weekend, I would think, or maybe probably definitely before Thanksgiving. And since you're the first one to request one, you're getting a bonus sticker. So you can put them on both your cars if you got two cars. Anyway, appreciate you making that request, and that is in the mail. Also, Rich, appreciate the information you provided on the run-walk method. Sounds like you've had some success with that, and it also sounds like you've run some pretty fast, a pretty fast pace incorporating that run-walk method. Rich ran the 10 for Texas 10 miler on November 15th. With a finishing time of 1:34:45, and he said most of those he was running 8:20 pace, and then I think the second 5 miles was a 9:11 pace, which is really good, man. Well done. I really appreciate the information on that, especially the information you gave me on the goo. Now you used a word in there, Rich, that I think is probably one of those $5 words from Texas, and I got to give you a joke you a little bit about this, but I do like the word. Rich used the word whipsawed, which is whipsawed. I have to say I've never heard that word before, and I'll use it in context. This is a quote. My suspicion was that the goo whipsawed my blood sugar. So my guess is that's when you're whipping something so hard, I guess you saw it in half. Anyway, Rich, that's awesome. Appreciate that $5 word out of the big state of Texas. And appreciate the email as always. And hold your breath for those stickers, man. It'll change your life once you get them. So I appreciate you requesting them so you get the bonus sticker. Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for sending in the email. Kimberly put a comment on the site about the video, and she said she was really sorry that I got sick at the end of the Outer Banks Marathon. And it was actually the weekend after Outer Banks. Let's see, she posted this. I don't know what date she put the comment on the site, but it was 20 degrees cooler the weekend after the Outer Banks Marathon. It was 20 degrees cooler down there, and she said she enjoyed meeting me. And Kimberly, I enjoyed meeting you and your husband, and it was really nice that y'all were down there cheering on the runners. And I have got on the Runcast TV or Runcast TV site, and I'll probably put some stuff on there. It's a pretty cool site. I'll have to check it out. I will link that in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, make sure you go over to ashlanddave.podbean.com and check the show notes for there's this new site that you can upload run videos, which is interesting. It's a whole very interesting concept. So Kimberly, thanks for putting me onto that, and stay in touch. I think you've got a December half marathon coming up, so make sure you let me know how you do on that, and I'll be definitely checking on you. Well, it was nice meeting you also. The next email was from Tim, and Tim was on my half marathon training team that we did over the summer, and Tim ran the half marathon in Richmond, and Tim had offered for me to park my car at his house, and then I was going to unload my bike and ride it around the city looking for my favorite runners. I actually ended up getting a little bit closer, so I didn't have to take him up on his offer. But anyway, Tim was out there. He had a good finishing time. He said the rain wasn't really an issue, but it was really warm and humid. And he said the last 3 miles were especially tough, but it was great to see the event. And he saw some of the Ashland folks at the end, and they're pretty happy. He also saw Tim actually, since he lives right on the course, he actually went home and went back out and went to the water stop, which was at the Children's Hospital, which was around mile 23. And so that was pretty cool. Not only did Tim run the half, but he actually volunteered and went back out and handed out Powerade. So that was pretty cool. I don't know of anybody that's ever done that before. So Tim, that's a true demonstration of your commitment to the running community. And I'm sure people appreciate that. And I'm sure they didn't even know that you probably ran the half. So that's pretty cool that you did that. Appreciate you sending in the email. The comment on the site from my brother John, and he was. He was actually commenting on a photo that Tom Grant posted, which I'll get to in a second. It was a photo taken of me at the finish by the, the official photographers. And it's kind of funny. Tom's got a link to it in one of his comments. And if you really want to see that, you can go dig it up from the comments on the Outer Banks Marathon video or the podcast. It's on the site, ashlanddave.podbean.com. I'm not sure if we're. I think they're. It's got like the Tri-Duo logo through it, and I think they do that so people can't copy those photos and make their own portraits of them. But anyway, I appreciate John. Taking the time to check on, put a comment on the site. And I also got. Again, talk about times. He said he had posted on there that he didn't think anybody had a great day out at the Outer Banks Marathon, and he guessed misery loves company. You know, it's funny that looking back on that, that actually was my second fastest marathon time of the four that I've run. And so I can't really say that I had a real awful day. I wouldn't say it was great. I mean, great would have been making a new personal record time. But I actually had a pretty good day. And it was miserable, but marathons are. You forget they are when you're training for it. And it's because you're 20 miles, you might feel good on a 20 miler. Nobody ever feels good on a 26 miler. So anyway, Tom said he got one beer before they all ran out, and he thought the half was a better dollar value. And I gotta agree with you there, Tom, because I drank more beer at the half than I did at the full. So maybe next time we get down there, we'll just do the half and hang around. Anyway, the next thanks, Tom, for commenting on the site. I got an email with a sound clip from Sean over at Trilogy Running, and let me go ahead and play that for you.
Hey, Ashlyn, Dave. This is Sean from Trilogy Running. I just got through watching your video, and I gotta say, the video looked great. Even though you didn't get the time you were looking for, at least you got to go on a really awesome run. Any marathon you can walk away from has to be a good one. Of course, I don't know that. I'll find that out later. But I just wanted to say good job, and really looking forward to the race report.
Well, thanks a lot, Sean, for sending that in. And Sean actually had an idea, which is kind of an interesting idea. He does his own podcast at Trilogy Running, and I'll put a link in the show notes for his. A couple things about Sean. He's going to be running his first marathon, the Atlanta Marathon, and I think it's in March. And he knocked down an excellent half marathon time not too long ago, 143 or 144. I'm not sure which race he ran, but I remember hearing him talk about it. That's pretty good. That's 15 minutes or 13 minutes faster than anything I can run, so I know that's an excellent effort. But he set his sights on a full marathon for March, and I think he's going to talk his little brother into doing that with him, and they'll probably put some podcasts out about it. But he just recently put out a show on his podcast, and it's episode number 29, and he is talking with Chris Russell of the Run Live podcast. And Chris is an experienced marathoner and distance runner, and a fast pace. He runs a fast pace. And essentially, he and Sean had a conversation during the podcast about marathon training, speed work, pacing, a lot of specific stuff that is just excellent for a first-time marathoner or a veteran marathoner. So I encourage you to check that out if you're interested in more information, a little bit more technical information about marathon training. Check out episode 29 at Trilogy Running, and like I said, I'll put a thing in the show notes. The other idea that Sean had was he wants to start doing cameos on people's podcasts, which I think is a great idea. So Sean, I'm going to send you a sound clip as well, and maybe you'll put it in your show, and I'll send one to somebody else too. Anyway, that's a great idea. So if you want to send me another clip, I'll definitely put one in the show. Appreciate you sending that in, man. That's pretty cool. Got a posting from Todd Crash Crider, and he was wishing me luck in Charlotte. And Crash Crider just finished the Richmond Marathon, and he took about 30 minutes off of his finishing time from 2006. In 2006, Crash actually pulled his calf muscle running the marathon. I remember seeing him lying down on the median, and his calf was doing some kind of weird pulsating motion. I'm not really sure, and I was in my own strange place, and anyway, I couldn't stop and help him. I mean, it was a race, and it wasn't anything personal time, but anyway, he actually ended up gimping across the finish line, and he came back with a vengeance this year and finished in 4:19:07, which is 30 minutes faster than 2 years ago. Todd can knock down a half marathon in well under 2 hours, so he is it was just, I think the heat got to him that day, and I'm not sure if he'll run another marathon again, because he is so good at the half marathon. But anyway, Todd, it was great to see you across the finish line. I got you in the video, if you haven't seen it. I think you did see it and you commented on it, and man, looking forward to running with you again, man. Appreciate you putting a comment on the site. Alright, the next one's from Ultra Dad, and Ultra Dad is his name is Rob, and he has his own podcast called the Ultra Dad Podcast. And he sent a nice note to here congratulating me on the marathon. And he said he's amazed that I can record and run at the same time. Keep it up. Cheers. Well, Ultra Dad running with the little flip video camera, it's really not that hard. And it's actually kind of fun, because it gives you something to do when you're running. and other people want to talk to you and ask you what you're doing. It's kind of it's actually relatively easy and a lot of fun. You gotta try it out. It's pretty much the same as carrying a digital recorder. But I appreciate you sending in the comment, and thanks for listening to the show. The last one is from my dad, and he said it was a great video, great effort, and Kitty Hawk Bay is beautiful. And you're right, I didn't know that there was on the western side of the Outer Banks, the main island is actually a bay called Kitty Hawk Bay. I thought it was just the Albemarle Sound. But there was some little coves and stuff in there that I just had no idea existed. It was really cool. Anyway, Dad, appreciate you watching the video, and hopefully you're still listening to the show. And Dad, you'll be happy to know that I have already signed up for the 2009 Richmond Marathon, which will be on November 14th of 2009. And I'm going to issue you the challenge to see if you want to come out there and run with me. The reason I'm saying that is because you had an excellent performance at the Richmond Half Marathon on the 15th, and I think you need to do another marathon before you hit the big 7-0. So if you want to do that, maybe we can run it together. That'd be cool. I'm trying to space them out, or that might actually be my 10th if I am lucky enough to stay non-injured throughout 2009 into the fall. Might be biting off a little bit too much, but I'm ready for the big 4-0, and I'm trying to cram in as much stuff as I can before I start getting gray hair. So anyway, that's the show for this week. Appreciate you listening. I'm going just a few minutes over my 30-minute. I want to try to keep the show at 30 minutes. I don't think people listen really much past that. So I'm going to sign out saying, this is Ashland Dave coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, and reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget, I've got free stickers, so all you got to do is email me a place to send it to you. AshlandDave@gmail.com. Y'all have a good week.